We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
What else does the Bible say, Jesus?
The Bible says a lot of interesting things. Like you can stone your wife or sell your daughter into slavery.
Well, we ignore those verses.
Well, then, friend, it seems to me you pick and choose.
We pick and choose.
Well, please choose love instead of hate. Besides, your nation was built on separation of church and state.
Just a little bit of the Prop 8 musical that was playing in California and on the internet everywhere leading up to the passage of Prop 8. Those who wanted to see the ban on gay marriage fail in California included the likes of Jack Black playing Jesus there and his other friends from Hollywood. But a lot of people were very upset when the ban on gay marriage actually went through, when the people's will seemed to be that gay marriage would not rule the day in California. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in this Monday afternoon. It's the 9th of March. In the first few minutes of the program, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about the backlash against gay rights, or the backlash against gay, the ban on gay marriage after the passage of Proposition 8 in California. She's a journalist in Washington, D.C. After that conversation, Dr. Robert George will join us to talk about President Obama's announcement today that he's lifting a ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, a big hoopla in Washington, D.C. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Dr. George, we'll be talking with Pastor Ken Jones of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn, about preaching Christ, a novel idea. Pastor Matt Harrison will join us in the second hour to discuss the theology of the cross and yesterday's shooting of a pastor at First Baptist Church in Maryville, Illinois, just around the corner from LPR Studios. Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council will join us to talk about President Obama's lifting of the ban on embryonic stem cell research monies from the federal government, and then Mark Silk will discuss a new survey with us on American religious life. He's director of the Trinity College Program on Public Values at Hartford, Connecticut. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's a journalist in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org, and she's author of a column for Christianity Today called Throwing Inkwells. Her latest column is titled California's Temper Tantrum. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Early in your column, you quote Ayn Rand, "Argument from intimidation is a confession of intellectual impotence." Do you think it applies to California nowadays?
It was pretty interesting to see the response that some Californians had to the vote of the people to define marriage as it has been historically defined, as a heterosexual union, and specifically one man and one woman in California. And, I mean, it was nothing but intimidation. There were angry mobs and violent protests and, you know, graffitiing churches and threatening boycotts and blacklisting. People were forced out of their jobs. It was a really surprisingly negative reaction to the popular vote. And it was not the finest hour for gay rights activists, I don't think.
It continues even today with a challenge in the Supreme Court in California to the people's will, it appears. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, and then, it's an interesting thing. The California Supreme Court had redefined marriage to include same-sex unions last May or June, and this ballot initiative that would have defined, that does define marriage as a union of one man and one woman was already in the works, but it passed with a fair margin in November, and it was immediately appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court was able to hear arguments on that last week, and it looks like they're going to uphold the will of the people. But it is a surprising thing to have the popular vote up for judicial review. It's something that, you know, we take for granted that when we vote on things, that we won't have to defend it in a court. So it was a very strong reaction to the vote.
Because the young voter turned out in droves and apparently continues to turn out more and more nowadays, that's a good thing in and of itself. But people would say young voters have no problem with gay marriage, so traditional marriage is going the way of the dinosaur. How would you respond?
Well, and I mean, that could potentially be true. But it's also true that younger voters have always had different views than older voters. It's one of the things I find interesting when you look at demographics about church attendance among younger people. Well, it doesn't matter when you're judging it, if it was the 1940s or right now. People have a huge drop-off in religious attendance and church attendance when they leave high school until they get married and have kids. So it would be wrong to assume that just because a voting demographic is voting a certain way at this moment, that they will always vote that way in the future. And many people report that they actually do have changed ideas about the importance of marriage once they enter into the institution or once they have children who are going to public schools, or where they might be facing the consequences of some radical changes to, you know, traditional views of institutions such as marriage. So it's true that younger voters are more supportive of same-sex marriage than older voters are, but that doesn't mean that people's opinions always remain stagnant throughout time. They experience changes in their lives that affect their voting patterns as well.
Let's talk about where this issue might rub up against religious liberty. You address that a bit in your column for Christianity Today.
That's one of the things I found so interesting about the reaction to the Prop 8 vote. When the campaign was being run, people who were supporting Prop 8 ran some ads saying that if marriage weren't defined as a heterosexual union, that it would cause some conflicts with religious rights. And for this, they were denounced as, you know, hate mongers, extremists, and liars. And it became something of a popular media narrative that this was a lie, that there's no conflict between religious freedom and same-sex marriage rights. And in fact, generally speaking, there is something of a collision course. It doesn't mean that always when the two issues brush up against each other, it's going to go one way or the other. But I did quote Georgetown University law professor, who's a gay activist and very active in federal legislation related to sexual orientation, saying that he had a hard time coming up with any case in which religious liberty conflicts with gay rights, where religious liberty should win. And in fact, most of the cases we're seeing in the courts where gay rights come up against religious liberty, it's not going in favor of religious liberty. You have a lesbian couple that wanted to hire a photographer in New Mexico for their commitment ceremony. Now, keep in mind, gay marriage isn't even legal in New Mexico. And the photographer, being Christian, said that they said they didn't want to photograph this ceremony. They lost in court and had to pay legal fees, I believe. And Massachusetts did legalize same-sex marriage, and Catholic organizations there had no option but to shut down their adoption services or open those up to same-sex couples, which violates their religious views. And then you had a case in New Jersey where a lesbian couple wanted to use a Methodist facility for their same-sex commitment ceremony. And the Methodist group said, you can do that. Any place is fine, just not in our worship facilities. And they sued, and they're winning that case. They've already won some aspects of that case. So you see just time and time again, there are these collisions between religious freedom and gay rights. And, you know, I'm not even arguing about the merits of the cases, but it just keeps on seeming that the courts are ruling in favor of gay rights, basically.
Now, I don't want to be conspiratorial about this at all, but it does appear that part of the strategy is to test in the courts the edges of this issue. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? almost continuously, not only apparently to set some precedent in the courts, but also to essentially kind of, well, I don't know, desensitize the rest of us to the fact that gay marriage seems to be the desired norm for this small segment of the population.
Well, and I think it's actually a wise strategy for them, because if you look at when you ask the people for an expansion of gay rights to include, say, marriage, which throughout all history and time and across every culture has been defined as a heterosexual union, the people are very unwilling to grant that. I think there have been 33 states that have held a vote on defining marriage, and every single state, you know, 100% record rate, every single state has voted to define marriage as a union, as a heterosexual union of one man and one wife. Well, if you look at the courts, there have been so many more successes there, and I don't know, you know, exactly what that's due to, more activist courts, you know, more, they sort of, the gay activists have done a very good job of picking which courts to try to expand their rights. You know, and it's worked very well for them, but it certainly does, I think, serve to, you know, move the ball and desensitize people and whatnot. And so it'll be interesting to see how it proceeds. On the other hand, you know, if any state was going to legalize same-sex marriage through a popular vote, you would have thought it would have been California. And I think that the really interesting news story is that this really broad coalition of people, it's not just Catholics, it's not just evangelicals, it's Mormons, it's people with no, you know, religious affiliation, all joining together to say, actually, we think the institution of marriage is an important institution and it should be defined as it has been historically. And I think that's a big story, and that we, you know, we can't forget that that's what actually happened. That's the most newsworthy thing that happened here.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org, author of the Throwing Inkwells column for Christianity Today. Her latest is titled California's Temper Tantrum. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We'll post a link to this column on our website, issuesetc.org. Just go to the On Demand page. We'll be right back. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor James Redman, Sue Schrader, Gisela Kent, Pastor Lowell Kaiser, Patricia Kaiser, David Parman, Father Chandler Holder Jones, Ben Malcolm, Brent Nutter, and Judy Malcolm. Thanks for your support.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.